I thank you so much, Lord, that we can come to you and we can that you've given us the privilege of remembering you in the Lord's Supper. We can remember your broken body. We can remember your shed blood. I am so thankful, God, that we can worship you in that way. I'm so thankful that you've given us your word, that we could learn, you know, who you are and who we are, that we can become the people you've called us to be, that you didn't leave us alone without any instructions, but you've given us all that we need to live a holy and a godly life and to live a life that pleases you. So speak to us this morning. I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would remove from our minds anything that would distract us, anything that would discourage us, anything that would keep us from receiving what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, got a question for you. How many of you have seen the movie Captain Marvel? Anybody seen that? Oh my gosh, just a few people. That's great. How many of you are going to be really disappointed if I spoil it? Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Here we go. All right. You know what? It won't ruin the fun, but it's definitely going to spoil a little bit. So here we go. I don't have a sermon if I don't share this, so I can just skip to the end. So Captain Marvel, first of all, I did not know this. Even though I enjoy the superhero movies, I did not know Captain Marvel is a woman. I didn't know. Did I spoil that? Okay, spoiler. All right. And she's pretty awesome, quite frankly. Anyway, well, I hadn't seen any of the previews, and I'm not that familiar with the comic books, and so I was quite surprised that she was a woman, that Captain Marvel was a woman. So the movie begins with Vers. Marvel, I know her name's Captain Marvel. Marvel. Oh, God. Hey, I started by saying I'm not that familiar with the comic book universe. I didn't need it to be demonstrated. All right. Anyway. So, anyway, just kidding. The movie begins with Vers. That's Captain Marvel's Cree name. She's just finishing 6 years of training to become an elite soldier in the Cree military. And the Cree are an alien race in the Marvel comic book universe. And about halfway into the movie, she discovers her true identity. She was really a human pilot named Carol Danvers, who was accidentally exposed to a massive dose of radiation from an alien device. Now, after she discovers the truth, she learns that the Kree had captured her after her accident and tried to make her into this hybrid Kree, tried to get her to believe that she was born a Kree. They made up stories to convince her that she had lost her memory and that she should ignore all those dreams that she was having because they were really dreams of her human life. Listen, once she discovers, the Kree's goal, their goal was to control her by creating a false identity. And once she discovered the truth about her humanity, she rebels against them. She destroys this device that they used to control her. And during the rest of the movie, she begins rebuilding her human life. And she starts to discover her full potential and her full power. Now this story, believe it or not, okay, hang with me. This story about Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, it ties in perfectly with our text today from the Apostle Paul. Because like Carol Danvers, we have an enemy. We have an enemy that is trying to control us by hiding our true identity. Our enemy wants us to live as if we had no power, that we are weak and helpless against sin and temptation. Not only that, but he doesn't want us to discover our full potential as children of the living God. And in this way, he not only destroys our lives, but he robs God of glory. The Westminster Catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Satan is opposed to this goal for this reason. Satan lies to us about our true identity, and he whispers that we have no power over sin in the hopes that we will continue to live in it and rob God of the glory he deserves and rob us of our full enjoyment of God. This is why Jesus gave this exhortation in John chapter 10. He said, "The thief comes to only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The thief comes to mask your true identity, to conceal your true power. As we explore Paul's message in Romans chapter 8, I hope and I pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal in your heart your true identity and that you will understand your potential. Last week when we began the message, Paul started out by reminding believers that they are no longer condemned by their sin. That is, they've been set free from the penalty of sin, declared cleared of all charges, set free. And then he ends by declaring that those who are allowing the sinful nature to control them will die a spiritual death. But he offers us another way. He offers us a way of life, a way to live and a way to please God by continually and persistently allowing the Holy Spirit to control our lives. Now, in our passage today, Paul begins by revealing our true identity as Christians. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 9, Paul says this, speaking of us, "But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to God at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you, living within you. Listen again to these statements about your identity in Christ. You are controlled by the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit has given you life, has given you spiritual life. He has made you right with God. That is, he's justified you and cleared you of charges. And the Spirit of God, this is mind-boggling. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Those who are in Christ have the Spirit of Christ living within them. Jesus said that we would be able to identify these people, and we could, just like we can identify each other. We can identify them by their fruit. Fruit means the good work that's produced from a life filled with the Holy Spirit. A life of godly character and conduct. This means that there will be visible and tangible ways that we can identify those who are in Christ, just like you can identify a tree by its fruit, right? You can identify a peach tree by its peaches, an apple tree by its apples. It will be evident and equally evident for those who are in the world. That is, those who are controlled by their sinful nature. Paul gives us a clear description of this in Galatians chapter 5. He says this, starting in verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, and drunkenness. This is how you will know someone who is not in Christ. Their lives are characterized by these sins. They live in these sins. They enjoy these sins. These sins are habitual and natural, and they're very obvious. And this is how you'll know, this is how you'll know they are. But this is how you'll know if they're filled with the Spirit of Christ. Verse 22, Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And again, their lives will be characterized by these things. Now imagine for a moment that you wrapped your hands around this, wrapped your mind around this, and you truly embraced your identity. That daily you embrace this identity, like every day you wake up and you put on your clothes. Every day you put on your shoes and your socks, or your flip-flops, I suppose. Every day, putting them on. And just imagine every day embracing your identity in Christ. I am a child of God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Imagine that you had never forgot that, not for one moment, not for one second, whose you were, where you came from, and how you were given new life. Imagine not for one second forgetting the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross, that he's adopted you into his own family. So Paul is reaffirming our identity in Christ. Paul writes next that after reaffirming our identity, Paul writes that we should put to death our sins. We're to kill them. However, the ability to kill off your sins is totally dependent upon you remembering your identity. It's remembering who you are, remembering the power that you have. The ability to kill off sin in our lives is contingent on our knowing our true identity in Christ and understanding the power that we've been given to accomplish this task. Just like Captain Marvel. She embraced her humanity and her true identity and then began to discover her powers. Now, not to go all geek on you, but I just saw Shazam the other night too, okay? It's like, who is my pastor? I'm just telling you, I'm a science fiction superhero geek. Shazam was asked by one of his friends, which power would you rather have, invisibility or flying? Anyway, I don't know about you if you prefer invisibility or flying, but that's irrelevant. I don't even know why I put this in here, okay? Listen, in our case, our superpower is to kill sin. Paul said it like this, starting in verse 12. He said, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, your superpower is, okay, that's my version, not yours. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature desires. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation. Now, Paul states the negative side of our obligation while inferring the positive side. We are obligated, we are indebted to him, to live for him, to serve him, and to eradicate sin by the Spirit. Our obligation is based on the fact that, that God is our creator. And it is our debt of gratitude because he is our Savior. In other words, since God freed you from the penalty of sin and he justified you and you have right standing with him, you are obligated to walk in freedom from the power of sin. So as we discussed in these last several sermons, and you've probably heard this many times, the process of putting to death sin, becoming more holy, is a gradual process that takes a lifetime. It's not going to happen overnight, and it's going to be very frustrating for you to discern. Should I be farther along than I am? Am I not allowing the Holy Spirit to control my life? Why am I still struggling with this sin? If you're asking yourself those questions, you're still in the good camp. Now listen, a number of you, I just remember Fontella mentioned this last night at small group. A number of you have been personally affected by cancer. You've battled it. Friends and family members have had it and have battled it. But have you ever heard anyone talk about cancer like this? I really miss my cancer. Oh, I remember the days I had so much fun with cancer. I felt such freedom. Those were the days. We had great cancer parties. I remember driving to my chemo treatments. It was so wonderful. I missed those days. If only I could have another day of chemo. Cancer made me so happy. It's just ridiculous, right? Absolutely ridiculous. When you have cancer, the only way to beat it is to declare war on it. You must kill the cancer cells. All of them. Not a few, not many, all. You have to hate it. You're willing to deal with it ruthlessly. You'll change your diet, you'll change your lifestyle, you'll stop smoking, whatever it takes. You'll shoot chemicals and radiation into your body to kill cancer. And the courage to fight this battle, the courage in the cancer wards where people are fighting this, is that these people don't want to die. They want to live. So how about you? Do you want to live? Do you want to fight? Do you want to kill sin? Are you ready for the war of your soul? Do you want this abundant life that Jesus promised you? Do you want to live that? If so, listen to Paul and put sin to death. Don't coddle it. Don't ignore it. Hate it. Destroy it. Go to war with it. If you don't, it will kill you. Are you ready for war against sin? Do you feel that your enemy is just too powerful for you to destroy? Have no fear. The Holy Spirit will help you. Now, in my notes, it says, have no fear, underdog is here, but I decided to not make that part of the sermon until I just now did. Have no fear, the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is the second gift of God's grace, His indwelling Spirit within you. When He died on the cross, His shed blood was the first gift of His grace because it paid the price for your sins. And the second gift of His grace is the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. His very presence within you gives you all the resources you need to have victory over sin. He says, if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live, and if not, you will die. The Amplified Bible says, verse 14, like this. This is what it says. Listen, this is really important and should be included in all the versions of the Bible. It says this, for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. All of who are allowing themselves. You see, there's a choice there, isn't there? Being willingly led. Daily remembering your identity in Christ. The Spirit of the living God lives in me. I have got power within me to kill sin, to stomp it out. Daily surrendering in prayer is how you do it. Now, I'm just saying, I don't know if this is a habit for you, but the words surrender, I surrender, are coming out of my mouth every morning of every day, period. And oftentimes throughout the day, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I'm frustrated about this. I've got all these things on my mind. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to do my best to work, but I am just surrendering myself to you. I'm surrendering my time to you. I'm surrendering all my talents to you. My money, my possessions, everything I have, I just yield it to you. Lead me by your Holy Spirit. Deliver me. Why do you think Jesus said two important statements in the Lord's Prayer? Lead me away from temptation and deliver me from the evil one. Who do you think's going to do that? It's the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You think you got the power within you by yourself and your own human nature and your own strength, your own will? No. Lead me away from temptation. Deliver me from evil. I surrender to you. So you need to make that. I don't know how much time you spend praying. I don't know what your day is like. But all I know is you need to surrender your life to the control of the Holy Spirit every single day and often throughout the day. And if you don't, you're going to live in defeat, because you can't defeat sin in your own strength. You can't put it to death on your own power. Because your true identity has been revealed and the power and the potential to live free from the power of sin is in us, we are no longer slaves to fear. We are children of God. We are loved and we are adored by our Heavenly Father, adopted into His family, and we are heirs of His eternal glory. The Apostle John wrote this about God's love and about God's glory. 1 John 4, this is what he said. God is love, and all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. That is through the Holy Spirit. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. God's love should be felt. God's love for you should be, it's something to experience. It's not something to talk about. It's not a theory. It's not doctrine. It's something you experience. There is no such thing as unfelt love or unfelt affection or unfelt affirmation. It's felt. God has affirmed you, and He's given you assurance that you are one of His kids. This is how Paul said it, starting in verse 15. This is why he wrote it. He says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we share in His glory, we must also share in His suffering." Now think hard and think long about this passage, both 1 John and what Paul just shared there. Do you feel the embrace, the love of God? Do you feel like He loves you unconditionally, even when you're totally messing up? Do you feel like you're one of His kids? This song came to my mind. I don't know if you remember this or not. I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna try not to sing it. It's catchy. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. No longer a slave to fear. I am. Okay, I know that's bad. Okay, anyway. Listen. If you want to sit in your car and you just want to sing that to yourself, or I don't care if you want to sing it right now, but if you just picture that song being sung and you're singing along with the radio, I'm telling you, I am no longer a slave to fear because I am a child of God. You can just recount that in your mind, and the deep inside of you, the welling up, the emotions, the love that you feel, knowing that you are a child of God, that you no longer have to fear because you are one of His. I'm telling you, these lyrics have some deep emotional meaning, and you can feel them, and you can truly feel the love of God. As the elders come forward, we're getting ready to wrap up. God's perfect love expels all fear when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. And when we are in self-control mode and we're doing things our own way, living our own way, you know why we feel anxious and afraid? Not only is sin convicting us, but we feel this distance between us and God. And you know what? Fear creeps in. Just like with a little child. Can't find mom or dad. Where's mom and dad? I'm lost. I feel that separation, heart racing, the panic sets in, the fear creeps in because you're not in proximity to mom and dad. And I've only been lost when I was a little kid a few times. I only remember being scared a few times. But I remember Andrea sharing when she was little. This was a big fear that she had, being separated from your parents. When we are living in the will and the control of the Holy Spirit, perfect love expels all fear. Unsaved people are slaves to fear. Fear of final judgment and death. And as well they should be, because their sins are not forgiven. They have not accepted the invitation to follow Christ and have not surrendered their lives. And so there is already a natural separation that causes fear. So if you are here today and you are living in fear of death, living in fear of judgment, you need to understand that you can walk out of here today with your mind renewed, and you don't have to walk out of here still living in fear. It really is heartbreaking. I've heard Christian people since I've been here say, well, I hope I've done enough to make it into heaven. People, not people in this room, they're no longer here actually, but I've heard people say, I hope I make it. I hope I've done enough good things. And I think, how could you be in the church for 20 years and not realize that you'll never do enough good things? It's not a weight and balances. Either you have accepted Jesus Christ, you've given your life to Him, and He's dwelling in your heart, and you have a peace and assurance, or you don't. So as you're sitting here today, I don't want anybody walking out of here living in fear. If you do, it's by your own choice. Maybe you're calloused or you're indifferent and you never think about what will happen. Now, I think this is what most of us are guilty of. I think I'm going to live forever, don't you? I'm serious. I don't wake up one day thinking, you know, this might be the last day. I mean, maybe some of you do. But you grow calloused and indifferent, never thinking that today might be the appointed time of death. I was just thinking about Art the other day. Art, you guys know Art? He went to the... I didn't get permission from Art to share this. Art, I'll write you a check, okay? Pay for this later, all right? You know, Art goes to the doctor for some sinus infection. They do blood work, and they find out he's got elevated enzymes. They're like, whoa, you know, that's an indication of a heart issue. They check him to the ER. He gets admitted. They monitor him overnight, and they're like, whoa, this is even worse. Next day, he's off to Springfield for a heart cath. Next thing you know, there's blockage and there's a stent. Now Art's here today. Praise Jesus, okay? Praise Jesus. But you know what? Well, he said to me in Effingham, he's sitting here, says, you know, now Art wasn't angry about it, but he's like, I don't really want to be in this stupid room. I'd rather be at home. Or he said something like that. I don't remember. I'm like, well, praise Jesus that you listened to your wife first and got the Holy Spirit second and then stayed there. No, I'm kidding. This is back. Anyway. The point is he stayed there and God gave him the opportunity to be sitting here today getting a stent in there. Otherwise, we might be planning his funeral. My goodness, you don't know when your last day is. Please, in the name of Jesus, please do not walk out those doors with fear still in your heart. Please. Now, at the end of service, if you just come forward and say, John, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I just want to admit that to somebody. I don't know what I need to do next. I'm just afraid. We pray that I will surrender my life to Christ. Let His Holy Spirit lead me. Now, I'm not talking to non-Christians. I'm talking to you who are afraid to die and you're living in fear and yet you're one of His kids. Please, whether it's John or Doug, come forward or me. Just say, I am afraid and I want to admit that. That's the first step. Second step, prayer. And then every day after that, just say, Lord, I don't want to live in fear. I know I'm one of your children. Please fill my heart with peace. So please, don't walk out of here in fear. Embrace your identity. A child of the living God, loved by Him, an heir to His glory. You have believed the enemy, the lies of the enemy who says that you will never conquer lust. You will never conquer greed. You will never conquer pride, anger, and unforgiveness, and materialism, jealousy, never. You're powerless to stop it. You're powerless to kill it. But this isn't true. Embrace your identity. Discover your potential and surrender control of your life daily to the Holy Spirit. Decide how you want to go forward. Do you want to fight against sin in your own strength and your own willpower, which will inevitably lead to frustration and defeat? Or do you want to embrace your identity in Christ, a child of the living God loved by Him? Having been given the awesome privilege of asking Him to meet your needs every day, to fulfill His promises, to forgive your sins, and to empower you to defeat sin and temptation, your new life in Christ can begin today. Agree with God about your sin. Repent and turn back to Him or turn to Him for the first time. The choice is yours to make. Will you embrace your identity today? Will you seek and discover your potential and surrender control? Or will you go on living in fear, having no peace and no power over sin? So with the elders sitting forward, and as we get ready to close, we'll stand up and sing here in a couple minutes. When we stand up, if in your heart you're struggling with fear, just admit it. Come forward. Embrace God's love and with childlike faith say, Abba, Father, I know you love me and I know you died for me. I am surrendering my life to you today. So as I'm going to close in prayer, then we're going to stand and sing. And that's where you are this morning. Just say to Joe or Terry, say, I'm surrendering my life to Christ. I don't want to live in this fear anymore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Jesus and what He did for us on the cross. I want to thank you for being so patient with us as you are at work in us, transforming our lives, helping us to be more like you, to live like you. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who is guiding us and directing us every day, that you did not give us a bunch of commands and not give us instruction or power to accomplish those things. Thank you. I pray, Lord, that everyone here will truly embrace who they are as children of God, that they will no longer live in fear, and then they will do all that they can in their strength with your Holy Spirit to stomp out and kill the sin in their life. Please, you have empowered us. Please help us to remember that. In Jesus' name, amen.